Hello everyone and welcome back to Triggered Reds. In this episode we talk about Wijnaldum and his new contract. Does he deserve one? Would you give him one? Should he get the same wages as some of our top earners? We also talk Liverpool versus Man United. We give our thoughts on their team, on our team. We give some props to their front three. And as always on Triggered Reds, you get no bias here. We say it as it is. We don't live in an echo chamber. And we give our honest opinions on all things. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Triggered Reds. Hello lads and welcome back to episode 8 or 9 depending on what platform you're listening to this on. I think Spotify is on like 8 and YouTube is on 9. There's a bit of a difference but we're going to sort that out.
Fair enough. Today we're going to talk a little about the Wijnaldum contract embargo, aren't we? And our thoughts on whether he's worth staying at the club or not and whether we should be held to ransom. Over a player like Wijnaldum when a fair contract has been put on the table. And obviously, we're warming up for the big one, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll touch on Liverpool, United, all the usual stuff that gets done everywhere else, but you get a different spin over here at Triggered Reds. You get a pessimistic spin.
A realistic spin.
Yeah, that's not to say we're pessimistic about the game, because we're not.
Not fanboys, and we're not Wolves either.
Except for Day.
Oof. Tranmere Rovers are beating Leicester 3-1. What's EFLT? Is that the Women's League?
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, it's under 21s. Oh, right. I thought Tranmere were on a romp.
Someday they'll be up.
Well, Brighton are getting beat by City 1-0 half time.
Yeah.
Phil Foden. What do you want to talk about first? Genie or?
Yeah, go to Wijnaldum. So I've seen this week he's rejecting certain offers to him because he feels like he's as good as the stalwarts in the team, you know, the ones who've been there a long time and match winners, you know, Van Dijk, effectively, Salah, Mane, Alisson. He wants to be on a financial par with them.
Yeah.
Maybe you can see the agent's claim there because he plays every game, but come on, mate, like... You can't tell me you're not getting another professional footballer to do his job. You know, a pro at that level. No one else can do what he does.
Yeah, the thing with Wijnaldum is, I suppose he would be classed as a stalwart of the team, you know, as long as he's been at the club now. Mm. But if everybody's fully fit, he's not in the starting lineup. So you're not going to give an absurd amount of money to a player that's going to be on the bench. And if you look at the contract negotiations at the minute, Fabinho and VVD are getting offered new deals. Mm. Now, you can guarantee VVD will be the highest paid player at the club next to Salah. They'll be the top two earners at the club.
Yeah.
It was Mane, Firmino and Salah were all on the same dough, weren't they? I think the contracts, they were almost something like £160 a week, £160. and then, obviously, Salah had that. He kept scoring goals having them seasons. He's on more money than the other two now. But with Wijnaldum, I just think like he's lucky to be playing for Liverpool Football Club and he has done really well for us. And I said to you, I potentially would offer him another contract before we did. And you said, well, I wouldn't. And I'll let you touch on that for your reasons why you wouldn't when we discussed it. But for a player, like just looking at his stats, and I know we've done this before, you know, he scored one goal in 17 matches this year, 4, 37 last, 3 in 35 the year before, 1 in 33, and 6 in 36.
1 in 33?
Yeah. Jeez, and seven. Out of all them seasons, no assists last year, this year, or the season before.
Mm.
And then to counter that, you look at Holland, 8 goals and 2 assists in 7 matches in the UEFA Euro qualifiers.
Yeah.
Like, it's a stark contrast. And I just don't know what it is.
Well, it's where he, as you know, it's where he gets played, innit? What he gets told to do for us versus Holland. And what he was doing at... He was at PSV, wasn't he, Wijnaldum?
PSV.
Or Feyenoord, was it?
PSV. And anyway, then it was Newcastle.
Yeah. For them, he was more of like a late runner, wasn't he? Arriving into the box late. So when we signed him, I thought we were getting that. Like a bit of a B-list Frank Lampard. And I was made up when we signed him.
When you look at that season there, 14 goals, 3 assists in 33 games for PSV.
Yeah.
And then when he transfers that to Newcastle, it's actually a similar return on a better level.
So I thought we were getting that type of player. And what annoys me is when you sign a player and you see what they're doing at one club, and then our manager wants them to do something completely different. It'd be like, how can you put it? It'd be like Man United there signing Cavani, but they want to play him as...
left wing.
Yeah, something ridiculous like that, a completely different role to what he's done all his career. It's sort of like intriguing as well, what managers or the coaching staff, the scouting staff must see. They must see something from these players and they think, Jürgen, he'd be great if you played him just there in front of the defence as a water carrier. It would be intriguing to see what conversations they have over said players. Like, I believe Fellaini was an attacker mid for Standard Liège.
Yeah, he was a CAM, weren't he? And then he got pushed back.
He was a defensive mid.
And then got pushed up forward, didn't he?
And that was Everton's hand that forced that in 2008. They were always ravished by injuries. But it just turned out he was good as a battering ram up front, and he was a nuisance. But by trade, he's a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
Obviously, players can progress, you know, different positions and change different attributes. I'm not saying they can't, but the Wijnaldum signing overall, even though it's been our most trophy-laden period for me, he's just been disappointing for me. As Lallana was, he was shit. I don't buy it where fans go, he works hard for the team, he does X, Y, Z off the ball. You could coach any young lad to do that, and over a year or two, they could do that.
Well, Jones arguably has got a better goals per game ratio than Wijnaldum over the last 18 months. I wouldn't actually say arguably, factually, he has got a better goals per game ratio. So you can teach the kids to do that. Now, what it pisses people off with Wijnaldum, well, say me and you and a handful of people I know, is that he's clearly got the ability to do attacking things and to do good things. But when he's in the attacking third for Liverpool, it's like his arse goes and he just passes the ball to somebody who's got more bottle than him. And you'll see him passing the ball to like kids that are younger than him. But what pisses me off with our fans around a lot of players and around a lot of play is because the team's winning and the team's winning trophies, it doesn't matter how shit a player is. They're still a hero or they're still a legend. And there's players you can't slag off. Henderson, Trent... Seems like Wijnaldum's nearly a player like that for a lot of fans. But if you say to a fan or a fanboy, tell me, break down for me what benefits he has and how he is better than other players. We were talking to him on Instagram the other day, weren't we, on our page at Triggered Reds.
We had a bit of back and forth.
He was trying to say Wijnaldum's better than Thiago.
He did say that.
How ridiculous can you be?
I know.
Like, to suggest that is the case. When in the Premier League, there's probably only De Bruyne that's better.
Well, if you're thinking about it, everyone loves, but what have they won, don't they? That comparison. Scholes is better than Gerrard because he's won this.
Yeah.
Which he's not, by the way. But if you're going on that stupid statistic, Thiago's the best centre mid in the world.
He's won 9 leagues in the last 9 seasons.
Yeah, but he is the best centre mid in the world at the minute.
And he's won the World Cup, the Euros.
Yeah, he's just won the treble in Bayern Munich's centre midfield. And he's the best centre mid in that midfield, isn't he?
Yeah.
So how can he not be the best centre mid in the world based on last season?
And not, obviously, if you want to have that sort of small-minded view, not just that, but his play.
Yeah.
He's a delight to watch. Even Owen said, didn't he, when you watch players like Thiago, Michael Owen or Owen Hargreaves, it makes you want to watch football.
Yeah.
If Wijnaldum, you know, accepted a different amount, so I don't even know what he's getting offered. I don't even
It'll be north of 100G.
Yeah. If he said, oh, I'm happy to sign, then I wouldn't be that bothered, but I wouldn't be bothered if he left at the same time. Like, by no means do I think he's irreplaceable. And people who think he is, it's like...
Do you know what it's like?
You gotta wake up, blah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Not to cut you off there. With Emre Can. Everyone was crying. Oh, we can't let him go. We can't let him go. He's a £50 million player. And I was like, what the fuck does he do?
Yeah.
He scores the odd world-class goal. And that's like Emre did score world-class goals when he did score. And he looked exceptional in games. There'll be fans, right, that have joined Liverpool as we've got good fanboy fans.
Young fans as well.
Young fans. Yeah. They won't even know who Emre Can is.
Yeah,
like when he was at the club, they wouldn't have been, like they would have been about eight. They wouldn't have been watching the game. And now they'll be like 15, 14, and they'll be into the game a bit more when he joined the club. That's what this will be like when Wijnaldum goes. And the cheek of the man, the best team in the world currently on like performance and revenue and what the owners are doing and how the club's being ran and net spend versus net profit and all that jazz. Where's he going to go? Barca, who are in fucking turmoil. They're not even in the top four. They're not going to win the league this year. They're not going to win the Champions League. They've just let Suarez go, who's been banging them in for Atletico, hasn't he?
Yeah, that was...
Like, why would you... He'd be better going to, like, Madrid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, just for him, personally, if he does go, why are you going there just to work for Ronald Koeman, that fucking plant pot?
I don't think he could handle the scrutiny at somewhere like Barca Real. Because talk about when you sign from Newcastle to us and you see the microscope that you're under. But that is a next level Barca Real. They've got, like... newspapers dedicated to them.
And the presidents of Spain and everything.
Mercia and all that. Like, what is it, Florentino Perez and the presidential elections they have. If he signed for Barca after a few... If he played like he does, because he's 2-10 for me. And when I say 2-10, he has two games where he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I've been to a few of them. The Arsenal game when we won 4-0 a few years ago.
Yeah, he ran them ragged.
Brilliant. He come on against Roma, I believe, when Chamberlain got injured. He was brilliant in the semis, and he was brilliant in the Barca game in the other semi. But they're 2-10. Obviously, the Barca game when we were losing, the situation forced them to play like that, the way he does for Holland. But it's the 80% of the time, he is just a water carrier.
Mm.
And some of the passes he puts on are always under hit as well.
Tapperoo, we call them, don't we?
He doesn't pass into the right space. He passes to feet. When you pass to feet, you slow everything down. You don't always have to go forward. Yeah, I know that.
But passing behind the man, come
on. Stuff like that. And it's a lot of it is under hit. Like, I've seen some of his passes and the player on the receiving end of the ball, sometimes they're lucky they've not got injured. Because the defender's seen a chance to get possession, or the marker has. Just tell me, like, in the comments or whatever, if anyone ever will comment on our videos, fucking hell. just tell me specifically what you like about Wijnaldum on the ball.
Other than his winning smile.
Yeah, you know, don't give me he never gets injured. Don't give me, he works hard in the team. None of that. just tell me. What's so good about him on the ball? I know football's not all about on the ball, but that's all we watch, let's be honest. Like, who cares about what they do off the ball? We're not coaches. We can all appreciate that. But the man gets credit for stuff he doesn't do.
Speak for yourself, Steve. I'm qualified at FA Level 1.
Yeah, true. Nobody gets credit for stuff he doesn't display, I mean.
But Milner does what he does. No one talks about Milner.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Jones does it. They can all do it. It's not hard. Now, I would offer him another contract.
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
No, you're not. Yeah. But I would offer him another contract at, say, 80, 90 grand a week.
He's on 75, isn't he?
He's going to play...
£75.
He's going to play, like, 25 games a season still.
Yeah.
But if everyone's fit, and it's a big if, he gets nowhere near that midfield over Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho.
Nowhere near
the midfield at all.
Henderson gives the side more balance. He was doing it for years where his passing was just off the boil, like underhitting that, but he's got better with that now.
Yeah.
Thiago speaks for himself, and Fabinho is the best defensive midfielder in the world. So who does he really... Also, Henderson is the captain. So who does he displace in the midfield three?
But you know, he'd play every cup game, wouldn't he? He'd play away games, Champions League, all that. He would get the game still.
I can't say as a squaddie I wouldn't have him.
No, would?
Yeah, I'd have him on the bench, definitely, but not for a starter who has to play constantly.
You've seen this year with the injuries that we've had, we have struggled with having players that are on the bench that can impact the game. I always find Wijnaldum, and I mentioned it, I think, in an analysis video the other week, I always find he's better when he comes on because he's angry. He's got like a point to prove, and he always comes on and he gets right into the game. Sometimes with him, I just feel, and I'm going to wrap me points up with Wijnaldum in a second, get onto bigger fish, but sometimes with him, I just feel like he just wakes up and goes, don't fancy it today. I'll just play 6 out of 10, knock it 5 yards here, knock it 5 yards there. Because he never does like a raking long pass. He never does an eye of the needle through ball. He never even tries.
Well, did you see that in the FA Cup? He scored, didn't he?
Yeah.
He opened his body up, slotted it. But did you see the shot he had? Where it should have put us 2-0 up, I think.
Yeah.
And ball comes in over the top on the diagonal. And he actually does what he does, finesses it, does what he should do, finesses it, opens his body up. And somehow side foots it like 8 yards over the bar from about 8 yards out. And that is exactly my problem with him. If that was big
Holland.
If that was Holland, it's a goal. But this is a big if, so a bit redundant. But if that was 0-0 in the game at that moment, it'd be like, what are you doing, mate?
Yeah.
Like, get it under and just fucking smash it in. Or you don't even have to smash it in. It should have been a goal, to be fair, with the technique he used.
There's too many... incidents with him that are like that, and I don't want people to think that we're listening in like, ah, you're a bitter, like, come on, he's done a lot for the club, he's you know, he's given years to the club. By the way, he gets paid to do that.
Yeah
It's not voluntarily, exactly. He's not fucking Mother Teresa. He's getting an absorbent amount of money to play for one of the best teams in European history.
I also believe as a fan, when you're paying your season tickets and that, you have your right to an opinion, even if it's unpopular. A lot more than most.
More so if you're actually, and I'm not having a go at fans because we have fans from all around the world. But when you're living in the city, going to the games when you can, and you're from the city, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
And when you've played football, not to a high level, you'll talk to kids like that kid we were arguing with the other day. Sounds terrible, like two full grown men arguing with this fucking
them day.
arguing him, with lad. This fucking whippersnapper over fucking whatever. We'll have to try and get him cancelled, this little cunt. But like, we've played the game, we understand how the game is. These kids might not play football, they might even like to play sport. There might be little pale kids in the room that don't understand the tactics of a game and
might be ultimate team
positions.
Like stuff in it, you know, FIFA type things.
Yeah, where, you know, they like him because he's sick on FIFA and he actually is good on FIFA.
He's an 85 on FIFA somehow.
Yeah, but he plays well on it as well. He does get goals for
me
on my season. But, you know, he has been good for the club and no one's saying get rid of him. Actually, we're both in agreement to say we will keep him as a squad player, 100%.
Mm.
But he's not good enough to be a starter when we're all fully fit.
I'm firmly not on board for all this. Like, are you mad? You've got to keep Wijnaldum because that's all I'll say on it. I'm firmly not on board with he's this irreplaceable top player that you all go on about. I liken him a bit to this might be doing him a disservice, but Man United had Darren Fletcher and Nathan Cleverley. I always say the boxer, Tom Cleverley.
Oh, yeah.
They had players like that, John O'Shea in the side. They moved on and you see how shit they are. Just because the United were winning titles, did every United fan have to like Tom Cleverley?
No.
Do you know, it's things that, so it's...
And Anderson and players like that.
Just like that, yeah.
They've got a whole host of talent that won trophies that didn't deserve it. But in moments, they earned them medals, do you know what I mean? And Wijnaldum has earned his medals at Liverpool in moments.
You do need them players in a team. You can't have a team full of stars, can you?
No.
It does need players like that. The small, like, different cogs in the engine to complement other areas of the side.
And that sound, and, you know, credit to him, but he's a fool if he thinks he can hold Liverpool to ransom over a contract when he's only going to be taking a step down.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, unless he goes to, like, Juventus or Bayern. I think Bayern Munich are the only team better than Liverpool. Obviously, we're on a bit of an off patch, and we'll discuss that in a sec. But in terms of like history, current history, how they play, you know, the players they've got, Bayern Munich are the best in the world for me at the minute.
Well, based on the last season as well, you can't dispute that. Like, it's none of the Spanish clubs.
No.
Juventus have tailed off again this season. I think they're third or fourth.
It's nice to see the Milanese clubs back up there.
And it is us and Bayern. Based on the last two or three years, you can't just say, because we're not pissing it into this season, we're still top, aren't we, if we win Sunday?
Yeah, on goal difference, yeah.
So I'd give it to Bayern at the minute. They are top and then it's us. But we've had 3 years at the peak here, so... Yeah, it's still firmly very much Liverpool, like at the top of the pile in Europe.
This is it. And I'm just looking at move on from Wijnaldum, like hopefully it'll be resolved soon enough because you don't want them holding the club to ransom.
So you just don't give us too many dislikes to summarise. Yeah, we'd keep him, you know, as a squad player and no problems with that. Just don't think he's good as everyone makes out, in my opinion.
100% agree with you, and I do think the kids can do what he does, but obviously got United twice now, haven't we? Close proximity.
Well, that's a fucking fix, the fourth round draw.
If we get through it, we've got West Ham, is it? Did they just beat, it Doncaster or Rotherham or whoever?
The reason I say it's a fix is fucking Man City.
Yeah.
You look at their, I can't say I've committed.
Their domestic cup ties, the draws are a joke.
It's constantly shit teams in the final, shit teams in every round that they play in, and they're always leagues below them. How do you even get excited for that game as a commentator or a fan? Except unless you're a fan of the other side, you're getting a load of money for it, then fair enough.
You've actually got a feel for United though, the draw they've got. Us in that cup and City in the League Cup semi.
No, they're out of the semis, aren't they?
Oh, sorry, yeah, they had City, though, didn't they? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they get City in the semi to get to the final against Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get us in the other one, and that is rotten luck. But, I mean, you've had 10,000 penalties in the calendar year, so I suppose it does balance itself out after all.
Yeah, that's it.
But they're top of the league now, just looking at it. And we were talking about the league just earlier on. I don't think it's the fact that other teams are doing well. I'm talking like Everton, Tottenham, Southampton, Villa. Obviously, they're accruing points. But I think it's more the fact that Liverpool and Man City are doing shit. This season, you know, we've drew 6 games. Only Brighton have drew more than us. We've only lost 2. United have lost 3 and they're ahead of us. Do you know what I mean? We're dropping too many silly points against silly teams. Like, we've the last 3. But if you look at, like, Aston Villa, they're on 26 points. We've got 2 games in hand.
Yeah.
So
it is a crazy year.
It's a crazy year.
You never really get a normal year in the league, but we have reneged a bit on our consistency. Well, a lot, if you think how good we are the last 2 years. We've gone back a bit, but that is football, isn't it? You know, there's no way we were going to keep that up and keep smashing people off the park. The Newcastle game was annoying because we had like 2 goal clearances off the line.
Should have had a pen as well when you see the one with Mane.
Yeah. But every team will have that, won't they? You know, we should have had X, Y, Z. But
it feels like this year, though, that we should have had for Liverpool is high. I'm not one to use that as an excuse. You know, I don't go on about not having decisions go our way. But we have had a lot of decisions not go our way. And I just can't swallow the derby.
I agree with you. You never know. That might, take it to the grave, but you might take that to the end of the season.
That could cost us the league.
Yeah.
Like when we got lost to Leeds to City, there was no VAR and all that then, and we lost it by 1 point. You know, if that Everton result would have went our way, we'd be top the league now.
Yeah, we would. And Everton would be a point off as well.
Hmm?
Not that they're a threat to the league. I just mean they'd have a point less, which is always a good thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
United Sunday. A lot of people are going, we'll do them in on like the WhatsApp chats and that, and just people you talk to. Like, Liverpool fans seem very confident. I just think it's going to be dead tight.
Yeah, like, they're not going to let us play, are they?
Eric Bailly's just come back. He's their best defender, by the way. Maguire's just too mistake laden.
Imagine if they put, we've said in the past that, just to add to your point, imagine I had Wan-Bissaka and Bailly at centre half.
Yeah.
What's getting past that?
I know.
Like, you could throw Tellez out on the right back, yeah, or Shore even, or bring in whoever else you've got. Like, that, as tackling men, me and you aren't tackling men, by the way, we can't defend at all in footy. But as players that tackle, like Ronaldo, not Ronaldo, fucking hell, he's on the brain, like Bailly and Wan-Bissaka, they are proper, proper tacklers of the ball. Yeah. They are aggressive in how they defend. They're not jockey. You don't get past Wan-Bissaka down the right. I said that when he was at Palace, he's a world-class defender. I don't think he's a good right-back because I don't think he's good enough for tackling. But I think as a defender, he's a top, top-notch player.
I'd definitely, if I was them, transition him into a centre-back and sign another right-back.
Defo? Because Shaw's still good enough for left-back, isn't he?
Even for England, I'd put Wan-Bissaka centre-back and keep Trent at right-back.
Yeah. They have got a good nucleus of players, United. We were just saying off air before, the signing of Cavani was a masterstroke, really.
Yeah.
I know he's being banned for the racist stuff at the minute. That's went on, but he has been a top player for them this season. And he's got that nastiness in him that Suarez had. And I know obviously Suarez got done for racism and abuse and stuff like that as well. But if you remember the Everton game this season in the Cup, he like done this weird narrow throat grab on like one of the players. And when it's your player, you love it when they're doing them antics because they'll do anything to win. When it's against you, you hate it. But they are a threat. And we were watching Sue Geordie kick off before, shout out to Sue. And he was just going on about like United and how they are genuine title challengers now. Now, I don't think that they are, personally, because I think when Virgil's back, apparently that's being pushed forward to March. Thiago's coming back, Jota's coming back, City are hitting form. City are the ones to watch. I'm not saying we are, but I think City are the ones to watch. Everton, and I don't think are going to challenge. If they don't get top four this year, they're never going to get it. It's as simple as that. But with United, they're good, but they were third last year. So people are going on this year like they've come from eighth or something. They fucking third last year.
Yeah, well, not to forget the players that you've got, man.
And what they've spent.
Are still fucking top players, aren't they? Yeah. Internationals who, you know, I'm not on the Pogba train at all. Like,
I hate him.
I don't like him, but he'd probably flourish under a manager like Guardiola or Klopp or someone. You know, you probably see what he does for France, for United and things like that. And their front three on the day is like one of the best front three in European football when they all click.
You're including Greenwood in that?
I am, yeah. Like, although he's only had a brief career, but Rashford, Martial with Greenwood and Fernandes behind him, when they do click and they're on it, we're better than them, yeah. And but I don't, who else rivals them, really? I mean, I'm not saying they're the best, but obviously there is a few better than them, like the Bayern front three with Sané, Gnabry and Lewandowski, but they're not bad at, you know what I mean?
The thing is, with the front threes now, like all the big front threes, the ones you've just named, they're all aging.
It's all over Europe, by the way, the front three. Like it is all over Europe.
But they are all aging.
Yeah.
And if they can stay together and click, that's a front three for what, 7 years?
Well, at peak. Yeah, yeah.
Because Martial's, what, now 24, 25? So maybe 5 years at peak.
I'd say, you know, Greenwood's still only young, so you can't...
He's quality, though.
Yeah, both-footed. You can't put too much pressure on him. But I'd say the weak link, if anyone's, Martial, because of his inconsistency.
Yeah.
Rashford's a brilliant footballer. He still has moments where he should put it away and maybe doesn't. And they're a bit like our Fab Four, aren't they, the other year, with Fernandes playing the Coutinho role.
Yeah.
And obviously Salah, Mane and Bobby, I would rather them over there front three by a mile. Ours have proven it. They've gone and done it. They're all established internationals. Whereas they're just up and coming. But pound for pound, if you look at the age of them to what our front three were the age, I don't like making them comparisons, but you can't say there's many better front threes at that average age than there has been.
No, they're all world class, they're all technical, they're all fast, and they can all finish.
It's that, isn't it? I think it's the ferocity of them, the pace they drive at you, they're able to cut in on like that, and they can get a good shot off. They can finesse it, you know, open their bodies up, or they can just smash it past you and be ruthless if they want to.
Yeah, if you looked at that United midfield as well, let's just say for argument's sake, you've got McTominay and Fred, and let's just say you didn't have Fernandes, say you had another water carrier in there, United fans would be going, the midfield's not strong enough. Like, they're doing a lot of running for the front three, covering, but the midfield isn't strong enough. Like us, where we were saying that, like, there's too many water carries in our midfield, until we went and signed Fabinho and until we went and signed Thiago. Like, our midfield was that way, but they've got Fernandes. And, you know, all jokes aside, United penalties, all that, you know, it's been said till you're blue in the face. Fernandes is a world-class operator. He's a top, top quality player. There's no two ways about that. And he does make United better, and he has made them better.
Well, they've not ticked, have they, since Ferguson left, and he's come back, and, I mean, he's come in, and he's sort of made them tick again. Like, they didn't really have an identity. They were just a load of players thrown together.
Yeah.
And it was, they might win today, but they might lose. They've still got that about them. Like, you know, they're in the Europa League for a reason.
Well, they got stuff battered like, by Spurs as well, didn't they,
yeah,
this year?
6-1.
Let's not take away from the fact that this year's Premier League, the standard of quality from all the teams, I think, is the lowest it's been. Just in terms of they can drop points, they can drop points. Everyone is dropping points. It's not the fact that everyone's playing well, because like, look how bad like the bottom three are doing, like points wise. They're just the quality and the it's sort of like the focus just isn't there.
I think it's a lack of urgency, which is due to the fans not being there, to be honest. And
I agree.
There's not really a push, is there, for an equaliser in a lot of games. And you can only imagine if there was a full house in them stadiums, what a team pushing for a late goal would be like. I suppose in some ways, the team that does win this season's Premier League, are they arguably the best footballing side? Because you can argue that all results have just come about through football and quality rather than being buoyed by fans in a stadium in a way.
I know that, yeah.
There's a lot of VAR decisions though that have contributed, so
that's what I mean. Like we've had goals that have been took off us. Like the Salah scored one, was it against Brighton? And it was like a volley over the shoulder.
Top
quality. Yeah. That got took off him, and that was world class.
And we drew that game.
We drew that game.
And in that game, United's one against Brighton away, they won by a last minute VAR penalty.
And then we had the one with Everton,
yeah,
which should have been a goal, and that was took off us, and we drew that game.
Yeah.
And then we had the one with Fulham when they got a penalty, didn't they? Or was it, no, sorry, Brighton.
Brighton got a pen.
Yeah, Brighton got a pen. And he did have contact with him, but it was all that again. It was given by VAR, you know, so
I think Fulham, did they miss a penalty against
They missed a pen. They got a pen and they missed it. It went wide.
See, that was another one when Wijnaldum just bent over for some reason.
Yeah.
And then they went and attacked us and nearly scored.
Yeah, he just tried to pirouette and then fell over, didn't he? So I do get what you're saying. Like, that's the team that should play best. But then you've got to question that team's attitude and mentality. Because if they can't do it when the fans are there, why are they playing football professionally? Like Everton fans, they get on the team, they get on the back of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they had 2,000 in the Gladys the other week when United were playing in the Cup, they were booing. They were booing the team.
They're a fucking... They're so hypocritical, the Everton lot. They don't half get on their own team's back. And if you've been listening to us up until this point, you'll know we're not the most fucking up your ass fans as it is. Like, we'll say it as it is.
Yeah, but we don't boo the team.
Exactly. We wouldn't fucking boo the team, do you know what I mean? It'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, come on. But they actively, whatever reason, like, just start booing their own players. And they're not even having a bad season, are they? I can't say I keep tabs on them. What are they, six?
No, they're fourth now. Oh, but it's all dependent on other teams' results.
Yeah.
Because they'll be about 6th, 7th if other teams win. But, like, with like the likes of Everton, the likes of United, I honestly do think that if the fans were there, they'd be lower down in the league.
I agree with you.
Because last season, look at United's form. and look at Everton's form when the fans stopped going.
Well, Old Trafford's a bit of a cauldron for United themselves, and not in a sense that it's a fortress for other teams, but when the Old Trafford crowd gets on the United team's back,
yeah,
you know, they you can see they feel the pressure there. It translates onto the pitch. And
you'd grant United that, though, because look what they've won and what they've done for 20 years.
No, you are right, yeah.
Like, Everton haven't, and we hadn't.
Yeah, it's reaction, isn't it?
So, like, we wouldn't... We don't boo the fans and all that, but it's been a tough, tough wait as a Red to have this level of success again. Obviously, Everton haven't had that since 32. Since, like, 86 or whatever it was, and the FA Cup in 95. But for United, the Premier League's theirs.
Yeah,
it's their fucking trophy.
Yeah.
It looks, even when we lifted it up this year, last year, I was like, that looks like odd because it's not United.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even like when City do it or Chelsea or Arsenal, it looks like a Man United trophy. I remember seeing it once and thinking that was their like crest.
Mm.
Like it's just that familiar to them.
Yeah, it is alien to us, like, but.
And that's why you've got to grant them that. And Fergie and, you know, everything that they've done. But with United, what's odd is like, they've had... What's that noise then?
Oh, I don't know.
They've had... you know, they've done the right thing after Fergie. Every step of the way. The managers they've got, you would have got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what's annoying when... Old cliche, but hindsight, you know, being so beneficial and... Everyone being an expert, everyone champion Moyes. There's a few that shouted for Guardiola, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he was leaving Barca, but most people.
But he had a hiatus, didn't he, for a year before going to Bayern?
Yeah, yeah. Most people were happy with Moyes because Alex Ferguson chose him. You know, hence the chosen one.
He was always going to be downhill, though.
But. And then it's only when he comes in and it doesn't go right. Everyone's a fucking expert, you know, on Sky and ESPN, and they should do this and they should do that.
I think if he would have got more time, though, I think he had, over that period of games, the second highest points tally that he'd had.
Yeah, I don't think any manager since has really pissed on him and blown him out the water. And that's a testament to how bad they have been since Ferguson's left as well. But, he's getting a bit of form now, isn't he? Solskjaer. And as we were watching there on True Geordie, he was saying if they won the league this year, or not even if they won it, but if they got close, he wouldn't have known a season where a manager and a team has been so bad, but yet still so good, where they can actually still win the league.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what we were just saying then about the type of season it is. And
it's probably similar to the season when Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
Because everybody was off the boil. And although Leicester were really doing well, churning out results, it wasn't the highest quality season.
No, Chelsea finished 10th and they were defending champions.
That's what I mean. Like, it's unheard of. And typically Liverpool didn't step up because we never used to, did we? Like, that could be an eye year again. But I think going into the game, like for Liverpool, Thiago's back and fit, touch wood. Jota's on the way back. And for us... Jota is being missed in more ways than one because he was pushing that front three to do better, to do better, and to do better. And then Firmino got some form back as Jota gets injured.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they've gone off the boil because they know they're playing.
Yeah.
They know they're playing every game because he's injured.
Resting on your laurels, aren't you?
Exactly. Like, and that's why we brought him in. And when we were struggling in games, there's games there. West Ham, I've mentioned it when I've done the tactical analysis of it. There's games there that he won.
Mm.
He won that game and he got them points by scoring that goal. And we haven't had that. And you shouldn't be relying on a player that early on in his career. And he's better than we all thought he was going to be when we brought him in. But we have missed him, you know, as much as any other player that's been injured.
Well, in hindsight, like I say, he has been a masterstroke signing because... Maybe the board and all that fucking, what's his name, that Edwards fella and Klopp and all, whoever, they've seen we were getting a bit predictable, perhaps, with our attack and play and where the goals come from.
Hmm.
Like the overlapping fullbacks and whatnot and how the front three operate. And just adding him's added a different dimension. And like you done on that tactical analysis video, just a little interchanging outside the box centrally has enabled someone like Jota to just peel off, blink of an eye, and just slot it. You know, yeah. A little through ball one time on the end of it. Bing, bang, bosh, you won up.
No, 3 points.
But, you know, stuff like that. Whereas once he's out the team, it's
predictable.
Yeah, you're reverting to type again, and it's, you know, can Robbo do an overlap so we can get a cross in and all that? And is the cross going to land where it should? And I don't think we haven't got the men, have we, to be getting on the end of aerial balls. So when our fullbacks do overlap, it does have to be quite particular where they get quite far towards the corner line, but they have to pull it back sort of thing, because it's not like we have a Lewandowski in there. I know Firmino's won a few headers recently, but it's a different style of wing play, isn't it? Which is...
Yeah.
Now, I think it's evident that some teams are working it out, and it's about time. We've been doing it for 3 years.
It's not rocket science, is it?
Yeah, style of footballs, you know, they can only be unpredictable for so long before teams start.
You'll remember last season, and maybe the season before, City did it a hell of a lot, and you'll remember Raheem Sterling just arriving back post, tapping in balls, and obviously missing some as well. He did miss a few sitters.
Missing a lot.
And we've adopted that style. Difference with us in City, they've got players like De Bruyne and Mahrez that we were discussing that can do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And that's what we had with Jota. He'd make outside runs inside the men, inside the right back and the right-sided centre-back. He'd make that run in instead of us always going around the outside, because Bobby just keeps dropping off and Salah's just gone right off the boil again. And this was his best season for me since we signed him.
When was his last goal, though?
I can't remember. Genuinely.
When you say that, gone off the boil.
Palace.
I'm not saying you're wrong or anything, but it's just because he's been scoring so frequently. It's like, it's not even registered with me that he is off form.
Palace, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It's the Palace game.
He come off the bench, scored two.
Yeah.
But before then, I think he'd gone 2 or 3 without a goal.
He should have buried a few in that Newcastle game.
Yeah.
There was one when Firmino done brilliant, put him through. And to be fair, Salah got the space and got a shot in, opened his left foot up. But I thought, just keep ploughing forward and just smash it with your right foot. That's what we were saying with Salah and Mane. Mane will use his left foot.
Yeah.
But Salah is like, no chance am I ever using my right foot. He's so reluctant.
And it's always got to be a specific type of finish with Salah. I feel like with him, he's like a Jermaine Defoe finisher. Like, if he has time to think about it, he'll fluff his lines.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't and it's instinct, he'll just smash it into the roof of the net. Like, no problem at all. But I think the game itself is going to be interesting. It's at home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Sunday, the United game, we mean.
From like a tactical perspective, how the teams are going to line up, because Ollie's going to just play deep counter-attacking football. Be interesting to see what centre-half he goes with. Surely to God, he's got to stick with Bailly if he's fit, because of the form that he's been in.
Yeah, it'll be Bailly and Maguire.
That'll be a battle down that side. Wan-Bissaka, Robbo, Bailly and Mane. That's a proper battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Down that side. Think for us, Thiago has to start.
100%.
Hopefully Jota's close to fitness, but, you know, he's got to have he's got to be in training for two full sessions before you get back in the Liverpool team. And that's where, like, I think the game is going to hinge. If our attackers show up, we win that game.
Yeah.
If they don't, we're not winning.
If I was them, I'd put Rashford on the left, because I think Rashford's better going at Trent rather than Martial.
Well, he's had them on toast in the past, hasn't he?
Yeah, and like you said off camera, all of our goals come from the right side.
The ones we concede, you mean?
The goals we concede, they're always from the right. And like you've said, Salah's not as good as tracking back as Mane. And Trent's not as good as a defender as Robbo.
Yeah.
So it's obvious, you know, attack Liverpool's right side. You're gonna get, what, 2 attempts at least in the match?
Yeah.
Attacking that side. I've got a hypothesis as well, and it's like, are we actually really bad defensively when you think of it, considering the possession we have? Because Liverpool's average possession must be about 70% a game. That might be a bit high, that might be a bit low, I don't know. But recently I've seen it, even when I've thought, we've not even played that well here. And when we don't even have Thiago, God help teams when he is playing. But when we don't even have Thiago, we're hitting 70s. And that's with runners in the midfield.
Yeah, that's even if Milner and that's in.
So teams are getting like 30% of the ball a game and still managing to nick goals off us.
No, it's a fair, valid point.
It's a bit worrying that with all the possession we have, we are creating a lot of chances, to be fair. It's just the finishing, isn't it? But for that possession, we should be scoring 3 a game. At least 2.
Well, that's where it shows you, though. If you break it down, it's the players that have the most touches are always the fullbacks. And we've had, in the last 3 games, the most crosses, like ridiculous amounts of crosses. Robbo's had the most crosses in the Premier League on stats, and he's only had 5 assists, which I know is a lot for a fullback. But if you have 200 shots, you're going to score at least 5 fucking goals, aren't you? It's not rocket science.
You throw some shit, it'll stick.
Exactly. Some shit's bound to stick. So with that, we have got a lot of the ball, but a lot of it's backwards and sideways. Yeah. And it's not, like, I'd rather have less of the ball and score more goals.
Oh, 100%.
But I think, to add to your point about conceding goals, because we have so much of the ball, we are susceptible to the counter-attack, and especially down Trent's side. Like, I know there's all talk about Trent's side, COVID, and that's why he's been off the boil. Now, look at the Thiago injury. How long did it take for him to play in that team? They will not rush players back, whether it's physically or mentally. They won't rush them back into the team until they're ready. Do you think Trent would be playing in that team if he had COVID fatigue?
No.
As if he fucking would.
Plus Salah's had COVID, Mane's had COVID.
Thiago.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. But it's different for everyone, isn't it? You know, COVID, like, I'm not saying Trent hasn't had a worse bout of it than the others, but you're employed by an institution. You know, you're working for a Premier League club. You've got all of the finances, all the money, and the attention to detail that must go into these players, the physical attributes, the health.
Well, you all wear the heart monitors every game, the oxygen, CO2, all that.
Of course, COVID is not contributing to his lack of form at the minute, his dip in form.
It's not.
Any fans who are championing that, give your head a wobble, because it's not.
It's easy to see with him. What's strange is, I don't know how he gets caught out of position, because the vast bulk of where he passes the ball from is on the halfway line. He passes from deep and he tries to get it round to Salah and round to Firmino every time. Just pass it short, mate, and go.
Yeah.
Just give and go and cross it. You're a world-class technician. Get your fucking balls into the box from an attacking position. Don't be passing them from deep. And then he gives the ball away that many times against Southampton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're already that far back on the pitch, how are you getting caught out of position? And how are you not having the legs to get back?
You'd have to watch like Trent Cam or something, wouldn't you, to see how far he goes up when you're not watching him.
Yeah.
Things like that, to see what is actually happening. But what I'd be intrigued in is just the thought that's crossed my mind. Is, you know, when his side is the bench side, so Klopp could be down his ear.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's more disciplined when he's playing that side than the other side.
Well, he'll be getting told, won't he?
Yeah. So I don't know if that is the case, but it's sort of, you know, I'll try and keep an eye out and let you all know.
Did you see that video that was going around? It was us against Fulham, and it was Trent and Mo on the bench side and Klopp screaming at Mo.
No, no.
He was going, "Wake up, Mo!" There's like a video on YouTube going around of it, and he's like screaming at him. Like, I don't know what he'd done in that moment, but Klopp isn't the type of manager to not say anything.
Yeah.
But I think from a United perspective on the game, they're going to come. We know the team that's going to play. Like, the only issue is you'll be centre half with Maguire. Providing they're all fit, we know it's going to be De Gea in goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wan-Bissaka, sure. Maguire plus whoever. McTominay, Fred, Fernandez,
Rashford, Martial, but not it's not Greenwood, is it, at the minute, consistently? Is it not someone else?
Well, Cavani was getting games before the controversy, weren't he? Yeah. So he was playing, but what they were doing then was Rashford was on the right.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of interchanging with Cavani. So it's an interesting game. I'd love United to come and play, because I think if they came and played, you'd get like a 4-3.
Well, when teams do play fire with us, we're often...
They get burnt.
Yeah, we are the bigger flame, to put it into analogy, you know. It's when it's fire against ice. It's a song of fire and ice. No, it's when they come and they play our kryptonite type of football.
Yeah.
They park the bus. That's when it's more difficult for us. When teams come and play, we beat most teams. We're better than Barcelona are playing that way at the minute.
Yeah.
We have been for... Well, they've gone way off the boil, but you get me points.
It reminds me of the Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. He says to Batman, he's like, this is what happens when an immovable object meets an unstoppable force. Like, that's like Liverpool versus West Brom. Do you know what I mean?
Fucking hell.
Like, that's how I think about us. Like, we are unstoppable, but if you meet somebody that just will not budge,
yeah,
like, that's that. You're not going to, you know, we are going to struggle as we did the other year, but I'd love United and Everton, like, to our rival teams, try and beat us. Don't try and stop us.
Well, yeah. I think United more so. I'll just touch on Everton again, as we have done that same point we made the other week. But Everton, you spent £500 million. You got the manager. When he is going to fucking try and play your own football against another team instead of being cowards?
Cowards.
But yeah, United, they've spent more than Everton, haven't they? Maybe not since Mashiri, I don't know. You'd assume they have. I've not run the numbers, but...
We'll have to run the numbers.
But, they set up differently against us. I suppose that's testament to how good this Liverpool side are. We force teams to change the style of play, don't we?
Yeah, or in some cases, they just don't have a style of play, so they just do whatever.
Do you think we'll dominate the possession this week? Like, even if Pogba and... Fernandes start for them.
That's a thought, whether Pogba starts, because he is on form, but then you'd start with being a sceptic. You're like, is he on form because it's January?
Good point. The letdown with them is they're holding to Fred and McTominay. They're not good enough ballers to keep possession and, you know, just knock it round people and that the way. I wouldn't even say Henderson's brilliant on the ball, but he's good enough now where he's got that confidence.
His passing's more assertive, isn't it? I think if you were United, having Pogba to come on late for a set piece or a flash of brilliance or coming on with a cob on is it's a wise move to make.
Well, he done that against Leipzig and he nearly got equalised.
He scored as well against Burnley, didn't he? The winning goal. So he has had moments, but it might be because he's trying to play his way into the shop window. For me, it's like, just get him to PSG and have it done.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Where else is he going to go? Like, he's not good enough to play for Barcelona or Real. He's not going to go back to Juve because he's not available on a free transfer. And that's all Juventus seem to do.
I know.
With English clubs. Maybe one of the Milan clubs, yeah. I could actually see him wearing the Inter Milan kit, like, linking back up with Big Rom. But, like, he'd just go to PSG. Like,
I just heard that as Big Ron. Like, Ron Atkinson and Inter Milan.
Big Ron Lukaku. But yeah, he'll just go to PSG. Like, he's French. You know, they love a player who's got a brand like Neymar.
Yeah.
You know, he'll just end up going there. And such a waste of talent. And I know Gary Neville and Thingio are constantly talking about him, Arty Carragher. It was funny because he'd done that stupid celebration the other day with Eric, our Eric. And so I seen it on our Insta and someone commented on it saying, God, I'd just love to see the veins in Graham Souness's head bulging.
Yeah.
Like, that just fucking made me laugh. But they'll have Suey probably on the punditry for the game. And I'm looking forward to it. I think when we played them in the cup, surely we've got to play a full-strength team as well.
They always say it as a meme, like something unrelated happens, like the stock market will crash, you know, in like Kenya or somewhere. Kenya's economy will implode. And it'll just something random like that. And there's always memes going to Souness. I'm sat here thinking, what's Paul Pogba doing about this stock market crash?
He fucking hates him, doesn't he? It's so funny. Honestly, did you see the one the other day where it was like somebody drew? Like, they beat, like, Peterborough or something in the FA Cup or whatever. And he got through to, like, the fifth round. And it was a video of them all in the dressing room, like skanking about, like Dougie in and all the rest of it. And the next picture was the next picture was just Roy Keane. It was like, you haven't even won the thing. Do me a favour.
Just
livid about everything. Like, I do love Roy Keane on the commentary. It's just his reaction to everything. It's just priceless, isn't it?
Mm.
I do think it'll be a good game. But I think, like, the FA Cup, maybe because... Like, obviously, it was only Villa's kids, but we played a strong team in that game. and they put a good account of themselves in. You've got to say, though, the possession was like 82%.
To us.
Yeah. And in the second half...
That would be with their first team. But they beat us 7-2.
But they weren't out to the... They went out of their half in the second half.
Yeah.
It was literally like, it was like a training match.
That was another one that got memed, weren't it? Us against Villa when the teams come out. Remember Star Wars 2 and Anakin goes to Padme, is it? You're like, he's changed and he goes into the little Jedi school and he shoots the door and he goes, Master Skywalker, and you just see, zoof. That was getting compared to us against Villa. Just murders all the kids.
It wasn't as bad as I thought for them, like how it was.
Well, that Louis Barry was at Barca, weren't he?
Was he, yeah?
Yeah. He'd done a year in Barcelona, a year touring at Thomas Cook. No. He was in La Masia for a year and he's come back.
Well, he swapped his shirt with Fabinho, didn't he? See the coach?
Yeah, yeah.
And the coach is like, what the fuck are you doing? That's your first shirt.
You know what a Brummie accent.
Well, that wasn't Brummie, was it?
Don't get it back, Louis.
That was like fucking Brombre. Go and get it, Louis. Fucking hell.
I reckon we'll
was good.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we'll beat United in both competitions.
Yeah.
The FA Cup and the league. I think we'll do them 1-0 in the FA Cup. Little Curtis Jones special. And it's too important for us not to win Sunday. They're riding the luck, aren't they, as well? And I think we'll just be too good, switched on to not put them to the sword.
Yeah.
I can see us like winning the first half 2-0 at least.
We just need to, when we're in the ascendancy, take our chances like we did against Palace. And it'll be interesting to see if Naby Keita gets a game, if he's fit.
No, he won't.
And he won't be fit, more than likely. He wasn't fit for Villa. But I just think we should be respecting the FA Cup this year and trying to win it. And then if nothing else happens, we've won the Champions League, the league, and the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in like the lifespan of the team.
Mm.
So we should take it seriously and play our best team. I know there's people talking about, well, you know, oh, we didn't have a pre-season, blah, blah, blah. Nobody had a pre-season, so you can't really throw that one into the mix. I think the fact that the injuries we've got, we're still top of the league, well, second in the league behind United, and we'll go top when we beat them on Sunday. Yeah, I said it. Then you would say, yeah, you'd be pleased with that.
Yeah, yeah, true, right.
If we win our games against our rivals, we're winning the league again.
Yeah, definitely. Somehow, I didn't even bother reading it, but it said we've got a harder running after United. So after this game this week, you've got easier fixtures post-Liverpool, but it doesn't really matter, does it? As we said last week, you've got 6 teams maybe in the league trying to win and the other 14 are trying not to lose.
Yeah.
So you can't really say Burnley's a tougher game than fucking
Well, look
Newcastle,
at the game. Look at the last 3 games.
Like yeah, yeah.
You'd
yeah.
say Nampois?
Oh, defo, yeah. You would.
So it doesn't really matter and we play better against bigger teams, but we'll just have to see what happens. Hopefully Big Verge can get back in towards, he said March, haven't he? Like apparently... The guy's just a freak with his genetics and he's just on the heel train like no one else. He's got a punch bag with Pickford's face on it, getting himself back into shape. So that'll be a boost. Jota will be a boost. But Thiago being the team, like, it's just so nice. We haven't had a player like that since Alonso, have we? And it's just nice when the ball goes to him. Like, he gives away one pass a game.
It brings it back memories for me because... You know, when Rafa was there in like the 2000 and, you know, 5 to 8 era, I was just a young whippersnapper coming up myself. And I was like, took it for granted that the midfield, we had Gerard, Alonso, Mascherano and...
Momo.
Yeah, but every team had good passes of the ball. United had Scholes, Carrick.
Keane.
Tottenham had... This was a bit later on, but Modric, players like that.
Van der Vaart.
Yeah, Van der Vaart. They also had Carrick as well at one point, but it has moved on, the Premier League, and the level of technical players also, they're not there, they're in other leagues, but they have also reduced in terms of production.
Yeah.
So, and having Thiago back, it's like, you know, it's like an old grandfather reminiscing to his kids, or his grandkids, you know, it's like, in my day,
This is how
we
played.
We had that in abundance.
Yeah.
And Thiago is a throwback to that for me. Just the... Does not an... well, I was going to say, does not a world-class... Everything he does is world-class, but there's nothing flair about
it. Yeah, but it's not showy.
Simple things are done flawlessly.
Like Pogba will... He'll move his body and do a turn that he doesn't need to do.
Yeah.
Just so it looks good for the camera.
Yeah.
Whereas Thiago just put, he'll look that way and he'll put the ball that way.
Yeah.
But he does it that well. Some, like, remember the other week when Alden just miscontrolled it?
No, I know. He does that frequently. He'll get the ball in the centre circle, look to give it out wide, but he'll fizz it inside. And the inside players never are aware of it, never reacting to it. And to be honest, I don't think Wijnaldum gets in the Dutch team of 10 years ago. This Wijnaldum. I don't. Wesley Sneijder, Van der Vaart. There must be another centre mid in there somewhere.
Van Brommel.
I mean, does he get? He probably gets in again as another squad player. But
Van Brommel was like the linchpin in the midfield. De Jong as well. He was batting it then.
Yeah, he's not dispossessing
Sneijder or Raf.
No chance. Speaking of De Jongs, I wanted the other Frankie De Jong us when he left Ajax. I thought he would have been perfect.
You wanted CM De Jong from Newcastle, who's a quality.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to touch on anything else. Or
no, I think we will. We'll get a comfortable victory, and obviously we'll see what happens. We'll be getting more stuff up as the weeks go on. Hopefully, the form for the Reds will improve and we'll get back on track.
Yeah. Go ahead then. We'll see you in the next one. Whenever that is.